today, will you really be honest with God today and tell the truth? Are you going through a time of temptation in your life? How many of you are going through some type of trial in your life right now? Some type of temptation or trial? The Word of God tells us that we all face temptations and trials. And I've been thinking about it this week, this matter of thorns in life for a crown of life. That's the title of the message. Thorns in life for a crown of life. How many of you have ever seen a rose without thorns? Have you ever seen a rose without thorns? I don't know if they make a rose, or I say they. God, I don't know if there's a rose without thorns or not, but I've seen quite a few roses without that had thorns. I mean, roses have thorns. And how many know that life has its thorns? We have our temptations and trials. In fact, right now, there's some of us right here today. We're tempted to worry, aren't we? We've been tempted to be anxious this week. I don't know what it is you're going through today, but I know temptation is a real thing. And the good news is that God has a way for us to escape temptation. Thorns in life for a crown of life. It's going to come crystal clear in a moment what the Lord has for us to look at. And speaking of temptation, by the way, I heard about these young middle school teenage girls that were having problems putting lipstick on the mirror in the girls' bathroom at the school. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Lipstick, hello, on the mirror in the school. And the principal was trying to break them from putting the lipstick on the mirror, on the mirror in the bathroom. And so the principal said, "All right, you girls, I want you to come into the bathroom. I've got to tell you something." And all the young teenage girls, the middle age school girls, came in the bathroom. And the principal said, "I just want you to know this is taking our custodian, our janitor, twice as much time to clean the bathroom because of the lipstick that's on the mirror." And so the principal said to the custodian, said, "Would you show these girls how you clean this mirror off?" And so the custodian, the janitor, got a long-handled brush, dipped it into the toilet, and started washing the mirror. There were no more lipstick on the mirror after that, you understand. Thorns in life for a crown of life. And I believe there are two ways you and I can change our thorns in life to a crown of life. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. In the book of James, chapter 1, everybody's familiar with this wonderful book in the Word of God. And I just believe that there's somebody, you may be somebody that's going to be listening to the tape, but there's probably several of us here today that are facing some type of temptation. Maybe it's a temptation to quit. Maybe it's a temptation to get angry and blow up. And instead of show up at work, blow up at work. Maybe it's some other type of temptation. You might be going through a trial in your life right now that maybe it's a temptation to lie or to cheat or some other type of temptation. Maybe you might be here today and your temptation might be, you know that it's not right to look at pornography, but for some reason or another, you've been yielding to that temptation. And today God wants to break through in your life and give you victory and give us freedom from these temptations that we have to endure. In the book of James, everybody's familiar with James. Now, if you want to and if you're able, stand as we read this one verse of scripture. I know you've been standing for a little while, but anyway, you'll be sitting for a little while as well. There's several James mentioned in the Bible, and this happens to be, according to scholars, the James who was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. And furthermore, we find out in the scripture that this particular half-brother of Jesus was not converted. He was not saved until after the resurrection. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And not only that, but we also can tell about this James that he was evidently a pastor in the church of Jerusalem, because that is recorded in the 15th chapter according to Luke's writing that James is a senior pastor. Church tradition, that is, tells us that James died a martyr's death. And in this practical book that James writes. In the first few verses, he describes that matter of our being tested and trials and how they build faith in us. And he describes some other things concerning wisdom. And then I want you to skip down to verse 12. Here is the verse that God quickened in my heart this week to share with you today about this matter of thorns in life for a crown of life. Thorns in life for a crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the word makarios, which means, or sometimes translated, happy. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The word for endureth there is the word hupomone, which means to remain under. It means to be steadfast or persevering. Blessed is a man that endureth. Notice verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, sometimes some translators or at least scholars tell us the word tried there is the word docimus, which means approved. It's a picture of metals, that coins in particular, that have been tested and tried through the fire. Keep in mind, blessed is a man who endureth temptation when he has been tried, when he has been approved. Keep reading. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the what? The crown of life. The word crown, there's the word stephanos, which is different from the word diadem that's used in Jesus wearing the crown, coming back in his glory and power, described in Revelation 19. Blessed is a man who endureth temptation, for when he has been tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This is God's word, and may God bless the word of God to our hearts today. And all God's people said, Father, I thank you now and praise you for the precious living word of God. We love you, Lord, because you loved us first. Thank you for taking my sins in your body on the tree. Thank you for tasting death for me, that I would not have to experience that eternal separation from you, my God. And there's none else beside you. Lord, we praise you today that this is the day that you've made. We're going to rejoice in it. We're going to be glad in it. And Lord, it's not only a lovely day, but God, you're a lovely God. And I thank you now again for the power of the cross and the precious shed blood. And Lord, again, we trust you today, Father, to break through our hearts. Lord, lead us into victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. Lord, please give us ears to hear you today. Lord, give us, Lord, a mind to think the mind of Christ. Father, we trust you, God, to deliver us and free us from distractions and things that we have on our mind or things we've been going through. Spirit of the living God, zero in on us today. Lord, give us clarity. Give us clearness. Give us our, Lord, convictions. And give us, Father God, a releasing of your mighty power, that, Lord, you'll get glory and honor. Lord, I don't know what everybody else is going through, but, Father, I'm convinced, Lord, we're all facing times of trials and times, our dear God, of troubles and times, Father, of challenges in these days. We trust you now to, Lord, manifest your glory. Lord, just to have your will and way with us today. Save the lost, revive the saved. And, Lord, again, we just trust you, Father, that you'll defeat the devil. And Father God, Satan's already defeated. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to tell Satan to get behind me. And Father, thank you now for what you're going to do. We expect you to do it. We ask you to do it. And we thank you now for what you're going to do in the hearts of your people. Oh God, be high and lifted up. Thank you again now for being so good to us. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for keeping me, Father. We can't keep ourselves. And Father God, there's some struggling today. Lord, I sense in my heart there's some real battles raging in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Financial battles, family battles, and Lord, anxiety and all kinds of stuff that weighs us down. So Jesus, have your will and way. Be glorified. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And we bless you now and thank you again for victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Thorns in life for a crown of life. And there are two ways that God spoke to my heart that I want to share with you this week about how we can turn our thorns in life to a crown of life. You remember last week we looked at the matter of adversity turned into victory. I don't know why God's got me on these subjects and these themes, but I just trust him and believe him that there is a reason and that there are some changes that are being made in our life. Number one, the first way we can have a turnaround from the thorns that stick us in life and the temptations and the trials to turn them into a crown of life is this. Now listen to me. Instead of falling down and being discouraged, we need to stand up and be counted. Amen. We need to stand up and be counted. That's found in the first part of 1 Corinthians 2, or rather James chapter number 1 and verse 12. He says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. When he's been tried. First way that you can turn your temptations and your trials and my trials into a crown of life is, number one, instead of falling down in discouragement. Is there anybody here that's discouraged? Is there anybody here that's been discouraged this week? Is there anybody here that you've got some things going on that you can't control? Is there anybody here that you just didn't think you'd be in this position in life? Why, you thought this would happen and you thought this loved one would come around and you thought you'd really get this job and you thought you'd have more on your retirement and on and on and on. Well, number one, instead of falling down with discouragement, I tell you, there's far too many of God's people today, and there I go yet by the grace of God, they're discouraged and discouraged and depressed and down in the dumps. God tells us we ought to be standing up and being counted. Amen. Stand up and be counted. There's a second way we'll see in a moment in this particular passage that we can turn our thorns of life into a crown of life. It's not only by standing up and being counted. Number two, and we'll find that in the last part of that verse in James 1 and 12. He said, for when he's been approved or when he's been tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Number two, instead of being negative and looking down, thinking of the worst thing that can happen. Come on, y'all, be honest with me today. I know I'm preaching some folks that are real. I'm aware of the fact that if we're not careful, we can think the worst thing possible when things happen. Our mind, for some reason, goes to the worst case scenario. Instead of looking down and thinking of the worst thing possible, we need to start praising God because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. That's what this verse says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The word temptation, by the way, is the word parosmos, which means a trial as used in James 1 and 2. And there's all of us are going through trials. All right. Number one. First of all, notice with me this matter of, instead of falling down and being discouraged, we need to stand up and be counted. Stand up and be counted. You see, the thing is twofold. Number one, instead of being discouraged, and we all get discouraged. Is there anybody here that's been discouraged? Come on, y'all talk to me. Y'all don't look at me like I'm just preaching to the choir. You've been discouraged. You know there's some things in your life that really aren't going the way you wanted them to. And instead of falling down in discouragement, we need to stand up and be counted. He says, the Word of God declares in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, you see, we're all facing temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation, what? Make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. And there's, how many know that the devil's not happy when you serve God? Let me see your hand. How many know that if the devil can't send you to hell, he'll try to wreck your testimony, and he'll dangle, watch this, don't miss this, he'll dangle his bait right before you to try to tarnish and ruin your testimony. I mean, he doesn't care how he does it. He's a relentless devil, but praise God, he's overcome. Amen and amen and amen. Well, number one, we all face discouragement. We all face times when we fall down in discouragement, but we don't have to stay down. Reminded me of the story of the lady that was baking some chocolate chip cookies. How many like chocolate chip cookies? Can you smell them right now? And that chocolate melting in your mouth? You know, you'd put that thing in your mouth and boy, just so soft, and it just melts in your mouth, the chocolate and the cookie as well. A little boy, her son, namely, 3 years old, was watching mommy bake these chocolate chip cookies in the oven. Needless to say, the aroma was so strong, that little boy was being tempted to try to get one of them cookies. Well, Mama had to go upstairs for a little while, and she said to her son, after she finished baking those chocolate chip cookies, she said, "Son, now do not eat any of these chocolate chip cookies." She put them on the counter. And when she came back from being upstairs for a few minutes, she noticed he had climbed up on the chair, 3-year-old little boy, and he was over there in the chocolate chip cookies. And she said, "Son, I told you not to eat those chocolate chip cookies. What happened?" The little boy said, "Mama, they smell so good. I just got up here and one got caught on my teeth." You know, sometimes that's the way it happens, isn't it? We just make provisions to yield to the temptation. But wait a minute. We are tempted. And wait a minute, let's get practical, all right? Where are we tempted to fall into discouragement or tempted, watch this, to try to run our life instead and let God run our life? I had the privilege of talking with a young lady yesterday, 21 years old. She walked by where we were at and she was with some friends. And the next thing you know, I asked her, I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "No." I said, "Have you ever been saved?" She said, "No." I said, "Why not?" And one thing led to another. And we just stood out there and talked about letting Jesus take control of your life. How many of you are sick and tired of trying to run your life and you've made a mess of your life? I want you to know the best thing you can ever do is let Jesus take control of your life. It's the happiest day you'll ever have is to have your sins washed away. It's the greatest thing that I know is to fulfill God's purpose in your life. How many know right now you're in the will of God? How many know right now you are walking in the light as He is in the light? Is there anybody here that maybe you've taken your eyes off Jesus and you begin to fall down and you've gotten discouraged? Maybe perhaps you've taken your eyes off the Lord and put them on people. Can I tell you, people will disappoint you. People will disappoint you, but Jesus will never disappoint you. Listen, Jesus never fails. Pastor will fail. You'll fail. We'll all fail. Husbands will fail. Wives will fail. But Jesus will not fail you. Keep your eyes on Him. Amen. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Tell me, is your eyes on the Lord these days? Have you gotten down? Have you gotten discouraged? Have you gotten frustrated? Have you lost your direction and purpose in life? Well, wait a minute. Here's how we lose our direction in life. You know what? Number one, if we're not careful, we can begin to complain. I believe that's one of the chief tools in the devil's tool chest to keep us from following and loving and serving our living God. It is complaining. It's easy to complain these days. Come on. It's easy to complain these days. Things aren't going good. Things in America, seemingly, we live in a great country. Thank God I'm a red-blooded American, but we need an old-fashioned revival. Come on. We need God to rend the heavens. How we desperately need God to stir up the saints of God. That God today will get everything there is to us. Not just a part of us. Not just some of us. But Lord, here am I. Take everything. Jesus, here am I. Take control. Fill me up. Anoint me. Empower me. Make me the godly husband that you called me to be. Make me the godly daddy that you want me to be. Make me the godly mama that you want me to be. The godly wife that you called me to be. Oh God, make me the godly servant you want me to be. Here am I, Lord. Send me while others are going, while others are answering, while others are serving. Are you serving God? Are you making a difference? Are you seizing the opportunity? Time is short and time's running out. How many believe that time is running out? The Word of God says life is but a vapor, James 4:14. I'm telling you, what you do for the Lord, you better do it now, because we're not promised of tomorrow. Number one, by complaining. Can I tell you what Paul wrote in Philippians 2:14 about complaining? How many have been complaining lately? Somebody said if it's raining, we complain about raining. If it's not raining, we complain about it not raining. I mean, if the sun's shining, we complain it's too hot. And if the sun's not shining, we complain that it's not shining. I mean, we've got this old sin nature of ours that is the fallen flesh to complain. But how many know we've got more to be thankful for than we do to complain about? Yes, we do. God's been good to me. Has God been good to you? Listen, if you just stop and count your blessings, brother, if you just stop and count your blessings, sister, I know everything may not be going like you want it to go. I understand that we have setbacks. I know that we have frustrations. And at times, we go through troubles in life. But listen, if we can just praise God, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's say that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Not just in the good times. Not just when you're on the mountain. Not just when things are going good. But praise God when you feel like it. Praise God when you don't feel like it. Praise God until you do feel like it. You see, it's amazing what praising can do. And some of us today, we've gotten in a bogged down state. We're bogged down with complaining and griping and grumbling. And no wonder we're not experiencing victory. We're looking at all the negative things and complaining about this and complaining about that. No wonder. Complaining, number one. Philippians 2:14, Paul said, do all things without murmuring and complaining. I've told y'all before. Say murmur. Murmur. That's about how it looks. Murmur. Say it with me. Murmur. That old big old lips falling down. And see, you see, when you throw a pity party, three people will come to that pity party, me, myself, and I. You can go have a pity party if you want to. Somebody said else. Somebody else will come to the pity party. The devil will come to the pity party too, won't he? Has anybody here gone thrown a pity party? Oh, poor me. I've got to do this. And my insurance is changing. And all this Obamacare. And how many have been complaining about that lately? Come on, tell the truth. Amen. The truth will set you free. Some things we can't change. Come on. Some things we can't change. But we can change. We can change our attitude. We can say, God, I may not be able to change all the stuff about politics. I've told y'all before, politics is a word. Poly means many and ticks means blood-sick and creature. Hey, come on. But look, we can't change things. We thank God we got some men that are godly men like Brother Donnie, amen. We need to pray for them. Matter of fact, we need to pray for them today. But look here, you have been walking around with the mully grubs, haven't you? Come on. You know what I'm talking about. But the Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's say it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I've seen some of you rejoice when you're in the middle of a trouble, or middle of a trial. Number one, we can fall down and get discouraged by complaining.
Let's just purpose in our heart right now. Hey, let's just purpose in our heart right now. Oh, God, forgive me of complaining. Forgive me, Lord, of whining about this. And belly can help me, dear God, put a song in my mouth. The Bible says even in Psalm 149, verse 5 and 6, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth as a sharp two-edged sword. I visited with Jim Ford last week about every day. Jim's going down, down, down. But praise God. Watch this. His spirit is going up, up, up. How many know that our outer man's perishing, but our inner man's being renewed day by day? Oh, it's a happy day when we graduate and get to go to heaven. I knew only one or two would say that. Why, we think, you know what the worst thing could happen to you? Do you know the worst thing could happen to you? Do you really know what the worst thing could happen to you? You could die and go to heaven. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Die and go to heaven. Did you get that? You could die and go to heaven. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. That's why you ought to start shouting right now. That's why you ought to start blessing the Lord right now. That's why you say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'll tell you, you ought to say, thank God I know in whom I believe it and am persuaded that he's able. We have all these inhibitions and all these fears, all these phobias and all these anxieties about things. What if this, what if this, what if that? Devil, I just want you to know the worst thing that happened to me is I could die and be ushered in the presence of Jesus where there's no more troubles, no more trials, no more pain. No more sin, thank God, forever. How many looking forward to going to heaven? How many know you're going to heaven? If you don't know you're going to heaven, you need to know that's the greatest need you have in all of your life. Number one, by complaining. Number two, not only by complaining, but what about it? Complaining gets us down. Complaining can cause us, again, to be negative and be discouraged. But there's some other things. What about covetousness? You see, that gets us out of the will of God. Covetousness is when we want something somebody else has. Is it not true? Listen to me. Is it not true that for some reason or another, we've got this part of us that we're just not content in what God's given us? Paul wrote over there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11. He said what? I've learned to be what? Content. And whatever circumstances, tell me, are you content with where you're at? I'm not saying that we should just sit down and if God's got more things in life for you, that's fine, hallelujah. But our trust and our dependence, watch this, ought not to be in the things, but it ought to be in Jesus. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. You look at a child. Most children I know, and me included, get a toy for Christmas. They open it up, they're happy for how long? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? And then the toy's over in the corner. They're looking for something else. Junior over there got this. Why can't I get this? We're just like that, except we're grown children. Come on. We got toys. We're grown, but we still have toys. And whoever gets the most toys wins. That's the mindset of the average American. You know, whoever. Jesus said it this way. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Beware of covetousness. That is to desire to have more. Beware of covetousness. A man's life consisted not the abundance of things that he possesses. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Paul wrote Timothy. He said this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's say that together. Godliness with contentment is great gain. One more time. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, that doesn't mean if God is wanting to bless you and God is wanting to make you a blessing to others, then you shouldn't thank God for it. But it means this. If we're not careful, we get discouraged because of covetousness. Tell me, are you thankful to God for what God has done in your life? Are you praising the Lord what you do have in life? Yes, number three, there's a third reason why we fall down. And we can turn this around today. Temptation. We're tempted to complain. We're tempted to be covetous. Thirdly, to be calloused or cold, if you will. Calloused. Calloused, what do you mean, Brother Pastor? You go through life and things in life, you can't change them. You know, things in life, we get calloused over it. Jesus said, I would that you'd be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. I'd spew you out of my mouth. That's what the Lord said. to the church of Laodicea. Tell me, are you a red hot Christian? Are you an ice cold Christian? Are you a lukewarm Christian? Are you kind of just going through the motions? Are you just kind of just occupying space? Have you really got a heart for God? As a deer pants after water at a brook, the psalmist said in Psalm 42:1, as a deer that pants after water at a brook, so my soul pants after you. As he's talking about God. Can you say you love anything else more than you love the Lord? Do you have any idols in your life? You see, this thing of callousness, we get callous, we get cold, we get indifferent. We go through life and things happen and people don't treat us. Come on. People don't treat us like we think we ought to be treated. How many mamas here? How many daddies here? You say, man, you know, I'm not just appreciated. It's been a long time since my children told me they appreciate me. It's been a long time since my wife told me she appreciates me. It's been a long time since my husband said he appreciates me. We get calloused. Is there anybody here that's going through that? But wait a minute. I want to go a little further. I want to go a little deeper in this subject. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he's been approved or when he's been tried, he will receive the crown of life. All right? Instead of being discouraged down in the dumps, God wants us to stand up and be counted. Stand up and be counted. Are you being counted? Are you standing up and being counted? I think it was Brother Bubba who told me yesterday as we were at this deer festival. How many remember those days after the Lord Jesus has changed your life? If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. All things are passed away, behold all things. How many remember that time after that genuine conversion? Jesus said, you must be born again. And thanks be to God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. He changes our want to. Bubba told me yesterday, he said, you know, Brother Pastor, he said, I hadn't seen a lot of my friends I hadn't seen them in a while, the ones that I hung out with before I started serving the Lord, before Jesus made a difference in my life. How many remember those days when you saw those buddies and you saw those friends and all of a sudden God told you to stand up and be counted? It don't matter what people think about you. What matters is what God knows about you. The Word of God says in the book of Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, one of my favorite verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children shall be blessed after him. What a great verse. What a great verse about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. She is a compliment to her husband. She's constructive with her hand. She is charming. She's consecrated unto the Lord. The virtuous woman, a woman of value and great price, stand up and be counted. Stand up and be counted. Well, I think of, when speaking of that, I think about several in the scriptures. For example, Noah was a solitary saint in a sin-sick society. Don't you know it would have been tough to live for Jesus or live for God in the days of Noah? Can you imagine? The Bible says, I didn't say it, but Moses wrote and said, there was wickedness everywhere. How many know that we're living in a time when their sin is abounding? Amen. And we are in the minority. How many believe we're in the minority these days? I believe that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. So a lot of people that name the name of Jesus have an outward profession, but no inward possession. I'm just being honest. Jesus said on that day, I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity. You see, it's one thing to, watch this, talk the talk. It's another thing to walk the walk. That's the proof of the pudding. What's your lifestyle like? What's your lifestyle like? Has Jesus really made a difference in your life? I don't care how loud you sing or how much you preach. I don't care how many bumper stickers you got on your car that say, follow me to church or honk if you love Jesus. And I don't care how many CDs you got of Christians. The bottom line is, what's your lifestyle? That's the bottom line. And we've got a message to tell. We've got a God to proclaim. Stand up and be counted. Noah, there he is. The Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How many of you found grace in the eyes of the Lord these days? Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Praise God. The grace of God, Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God that appeared to all men, teaching us the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men, appeareth. You see, God's grace And there were others in the Bible. I love the story of Moses. You remember Moses? Moses could have had a silver spoon in his mouth. I mean, Moses was Pharaoh's own family member. Y'all remember that? But over there in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, Moses refused. Listen to me. He stood up and was counted. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose rather to be afflicted with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for how long? Just a season. He refused. Think about that. Are you tempted today to cave in to compromising? I can't hear you. Nobody will ever know. It's just a little slip here. Listen, learn this. Little compromises lead to big consequences. Little compromises lead to big consequences. Oh yeah, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32 and 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. And Paul said, whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. What are you sowing in life? What are you sowing in life? What is the fruit that's being born in your life? Well, stand up and be counted. Moses are counted. How many have read the story? I was reminded again this week. What's going to be said at your funeral? I said, what's going to be said at your funeral? You'll probably have a funeral one day, unless Jesus comes again. How many want Jesus to come again? Hallelujah. Even so come. What's going to be said at your funeral? Your lifestyle preaches your funeral. You do realize that, don't you? Your lifestyle preaches your funeral. What is going to be said at your funeral? Can I tell you about a woman? Something was said good about her. Over there in the book of Acts chapter 9, there's a lady named Tabitha. Have you read about her? Have you read about her lately? Her name is Dorcas. Say that with me. Dorcas. Say it again. Dorcas. And you know what said about Dorcas? Luke says she was full of good works. Full of good works. That is, she made a difference. She made a difference. Glory, glory, glory. Listen. I can't maybe go all across the world. I can't witness to everybody in Jasper County, but praise God, I can go to one person. I can make a difference in one person's life. Tell me, are you making a difference in one person's life? Who are you investing in? Who are you pouring into? Are you mentoring somebody? If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you ought to be mentoring at least one person. Hello? Discipleship. Jesus said, he that wished to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. He poured himself. Watch this. He poured himself into those 12 men, disciples. One had a devil, Judas. That's what you're to do. That's what I'm to do. He washed Peter's feet and said, what I've done, you go do likewise. You see, each one reach one and then each one teach one. How many know the principles in the scripture? Mentoring. How many know the principles about Paul and Barnabas? Barnabas and Paul. Paul and Timothy is a better example. What about Elijah and Elisha? What about Moses and Joshua? Tell me right now, who are you mentoring? Who are you pouring into? Who are you praying for? Who are you investing in? Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 2, 2. He said, commit thou, Timothy, to faithful men who be able to teach others. That word commit is the word deposit. If you don't have somebody on your heart right now, you need to pray, God, give me somebody, grandchild, great-grandchild, brother, sister, neighbor, co-worker. Are you using that influence for God's glory? Write them a card. Give them a book. Or give them a tape. Go to their house and just spend a little time with them and pray with them. Let them know you care about them. Pour in. Oh yeah, each one reach one and each then reach one teach one. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. Hear me. I'm about to come to a conclusion on the first point, and it's this. Instead of falling down and being discouraged, stand up and be counted. Stand up and be counted. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 26 verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many know the flesh is weak? How many know you need God's power today to overcome? How many are going to cry out to God today, Lord, I'm going to fall into temptation if you don't empower me. Come on, we need Jesus. Come on, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't believe that. That's why you've been falling in temptation. You don't understand your utter dependency upon God. Why, you think you can handle that, don't you? Come on. That's the reason we don't cry out to God more. That's the reason why we don't fall at His mercies more. It's, God, I can handle this, but when the big things happen, I can't handle that, God. How many know you can't walk without Him holding our hand? Let's get dependent upon the Lord. January the 1st, 1929. January the 1st, 1929. The Rose Bowl was played on football. Georgia Tech was playing University of California. A man was running the football. All of a sudden, he was hit, tackled, and he lost the football. And the football went rolling on the field. A man picked up that football and started running with all of his might from the team of University of California. He bumped into one of his players and got somehow disoriented and started running in the wrong direction. And people were hollering. And people said, wait, turn around, don't run that way. He just got totally disoriented and was running in the wrong direction. He was running to the wrong end zone. His players were running after him. This man, Roy Regal, was running the wrong way. Roy, turn around. And finally, at the 3-yard line, one of his teammates caught up to him, and the men in Georgia Tech's team tackled him on the 3-yard line. And then it was halftime. He went in the locker room absolutely embarrassed, ashamed. How many have been ashamed? We're all running in the wrong direction in front of all of those people. He had his head held down. And his coach Nips Price, I think was the coach's name. And Roy Regal sitting there, and he's absolutely discouraged. He messed up. He blew it. How many have ever messed up and blown it? How many have ever slipped and fallen? He said, I can't go out there, coach. I can't go out there. I'm humiliated. I'm embarrassed. That coach said to him, there's only one half that's been played. There's a whole nother half out there. Get up and get out there and make a difference. You've only blown it in the first half, but there's a second half to go out and play. And the account says, some of you may remember, that Roy Regal went out and had a standout second half. He didn't let that mess up. He didn't let that blunder. He didn't let that embarrassment keep him from doing the best that he could. And no wonder he went out and just played a marvelous second half, even though California, by the way, did lose to Georgia Tech. But the point is this. Some of us today, we have messed up in the past. Come on. You know that you've had a bad attitude. You know that you haven't been walking in victory. You haven't been spending sweet hour of prayer with Jesus. You've been preoccupied about this. You've kind of gotten a critical attitude. You've just kind of gotten self-righteous. You're taking your eyes off the Lord. Maybe you've been serving God for a long time, but you say, I'm not doing anything for the kingdom of God now, and I need to get back out and do something for God. By the power of the Holy Ghost of God, he would say, I've blown it in the past. I've got good news. There's a whole nother half for you to get out of there and make a difference. We can't change the past, but thank God we can change the present and the future. Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward what lies ahead. Amen and amen and amen. And you know some family members right now that have messed up. But it ain't over till it's over. Can I get an amen? It ain't over till it's over. You've given up on them, hadn't you? You've chalked them off, hadn't you? You don't think that they're ever going to come around. God says, hey, people chalked you off too. People wrote you off too. How many know, had it not have been for some godly mama, some godly daddy, some preacher, some Sunday school teacher, all of us would have been out there on a derelict, an infidel right now, had it not have been for people God raised up in our life. You didn't get where you're at where you think you got where you're at by yourself. Can you hear me? It's like that turtle sitting upon that pit fence post. You ought to send a picture to your loved ones with a turtle sitting on a fence post. He ain't got there by himself. Somebody put him there. We are what we are because God saw others to pour into our life. Oh, Oh, I feel like shouting right there. Praise God. You don't know what kind of difference you can make in somebody's life. You say, but I don't know about what I can do. Just do something. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Jesus said about the woman in Mark chapter 10 that poured the alabaster ointment on him. She had done what she could. Just do what you could. Just do what you can. Number two, not only instead of falling down, being discouraged, stand up and be counted. Number two, and I'll be brief. Instead of looking down, come on now. It don't take me long to be around you. It don't take you long to be around me to see how negative we are. 5 minutes, and you can hear it coming right from your mouth. 5 minutes, you can hear the negativity. 5 minutes, you can hear, and we all get that way at times. Can I get an amen? Come on, we all get that way at times. Some of you are right there today, but God knows you don't need to stay there. But number two, instead of looking down and thinking the worst. How many have been thinking the worst lately? We're never going to get out of this. I'm never going to get out of debt. She'll never change. He'll never change. We think of the worst thing. Come on. Y'all don't look at me like you're self-righteous. You know what I'm talking about. You think of the worst thing. Why is it that we think of the worst thing? Can I tell you, instead of thinking the worst, instead of looking down, we need to start praising God. The best is yet to come. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation when he's been tried. Here's the best. He shall receive a crown of life. He shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Can I tell y'all, speaking about getting negative and looking down? Can I be honest with y'all? Is it all right if I get honest with y'all? The Word of God says, as iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. Last Thursday night, I was studying and praying about today. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, our dog started barking. Lately, I've been around dogs barking. Can I get an amen? I don't know what it is. Every time I go, dogs start barking in the middle of the night. Anyway, these dogs, we got two dogs. One's like a German Shepherd white dog. It's really the best dog. And everybody knows the other dog, Little Red. That high-pitched bark, my soul, just like a whistle. It's a high-pitched bark. Anyway, I heard those dogs barking. I said, well, it may be another dog out there. Maybe something going on. They're in a pen. They're in a fence out in the backyard. They kept barking. 5 minutes went by. 10 minutes. I'm trying to study. I'm trying to read. I'm trying to concentrate. And they're barking and barking and barking. And finally, about 15 minutes later, 20 minutes, I said, what in the world's going on? Something must be going on out there. And I just need to check it out, maybe. And so I went and got my old trusty flashlight. And I walk out in the yard. And the folks, I didn't have on a tie or a coat. You can fill in the blanks, all right? I walk out in the yard. I've got my flashlight with me. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm trying to study. And I'm shining the flashlight around everywhere. I can't see anything. They're barking. I see where they're barking at the fence. I'm looking around. I can't see anything. I stood out there 5 minutes looking in the tent. I thought it was a cat, maybe. Maybe it was a dog somewhere. About that time, fixing to get ready to go back in, I shined the light, and there it was. Possum on a half shell. Armadillo. I said, bless God, I thought I killed all them armadillos. Where's John when I need him, amen? Where's Star when I need him? I said, bless God, I don't have my old trusty 20 gauge. How many know I didn't go outside with my old trusty 20 gauge? It was inside. I'm looking at that old armadillo. I said, man, I'll kill him if it's the last thing I'll do. I'm going to get that rascal. Y'all don't look at me like y'all wouldn't kill him either. Come on. Anyway, I said, I'm going to go get her. I've got a shotgun. Betsy, she's inside. Do I got time to go get her? I don't know. He'll be gone by the time I get back here. And so I ran in the carport. The only thing I knew to do was I didn't have time to go up there and get my old trusty shotgun. So I ran in the carport and got a, how many know what a fishing net is? It's got a long pole in it. It's got a big net on it. It's what you scoop out fish. It's got a long pole in it. I said, I know what I'll do. I'll catch that critter. Amen. I ran out there with that fishing net in my hand, shining the light. Guess what? He was gone. To be continued next week. I'll tell you the rest of the story next week, all right? Hey, listen. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he has been tried, he'll receive the crown of life. I'll close on this story. I'll never forget reading a story about this lady. She's, get the picture now, she's at a grave, at the foot of a grave. She's got some flowers in her hands. She's kneeling down at the foot of this grave. Tears are streaming down her face. And she's crying, and she's got these flowers, and she's just caught up in the moment. And all of a sudden, a man walks up and says to her, "Ma'am, is that your husband?" She said, "No." He said, "Is that your son?" She said, "No." He said, "Is that your brother?" She said, "No." He said, "Is that a neighbor?" "No." "Who is that man? Who is that man that you're putting flowers at the foot of his grave?" She said with tears streaming down her face, "That's the man. That's the man. When my house was on fire, he came and broke into my home. He saved me. He rescued me. I owe my life to him. That is a fireman. He is the one that saved my life." And as she put those flowers at his feet of that grave, she said, "He saved my life." I tell you, one day, blesses a man that endureth temptation. When he's been tried, watch this, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. You know what we're going to do with those crowns? Oh, one day when we get to glory, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we're going to take those crowns depicted in Revelation chapter 4, put them at the feet of the one that saved me. I don't know about you, but I know I was headed for a devil's hell. I was headed for the lake of fire. And more than a fireman, my blessed Redeemer, my Savior, my Lord, he came and saved me from the penalty of sin, and thank God the power of sin, and one day the presence of sin. That's the one that saved me. That's the one that redeemed me. I owe my all to him. He's changed my life. And one day, thanks be to God, when we get to glory, I'm going to say, "Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for changing my heart. Jesus, I bless you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord." You know what? He saved me. You know what? I'm a son of the living God. You know what? I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what? Praise God. One day I'm going to get to see my loved ones in glory. One day, thank God, we're going to serve the Lord throughout all eternity. One day we're going to shout. You may not believe in shouting now, but I got news for you. When you get to glory, we're going to shout and praise God, because he saved us. He loves us. And he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And now we just better get ready to praise him, because hallelujah, what a Savior, what a Savior, what a Lord. Let's love him now. Let's serve him now. Let's make a difference now. Stand up and be counted. The best is yet to come. Amen and amen and amen. The best is yet to come. Thank you, Jesus. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I wonder today if you'd stand to your feet and think for a minute. Thorns.